You go, what's the point? Here it is.
It's for you and I as believers, come on somebody, to constantly examine his own life in order to rid himself of unconfessed sin. When was the last time you went to God and said, how is it between us? What's in my heart? What do I need to confess?
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Nehemiah. Last time, we saw how the gates of Jerusalem paint a picture of God's restoration work in our lives. Today, we conclude chapter 3 with People Get Ready, the Gospel Gates. The final gates remind us that rebuilding is not just about repairing damage. It's about preparing for the future. Every repaired gate strengthened the city and helped secure what God was doing among His people. In the same way, God uses His Word, His Spirit, and His grace to prepare us for the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. God rebuilds us not only for healing, but also for purpose. And preparation is often God's hidden work before His visible work. So what might God be preparing for you through the season you're currently walking through? Let's join Pastor Ben as we continue in chapter 3, verses 28 through 32 in today's lesson, People Get Ready, the Gospel Gates.
And the point is they couldn't worship because they were always afraid that they would be invaded. Here's what's important, guys. It's important to know the why we do what we do. It's important for you to know why you're here worshiping the Lord. It's important for you to know why you share your testimony with others. What happened to me? Why you're witnessing and how God could do that for others. You see, what's going to happen in your life, Elias, and what's going to happen in all your lives is that you're going to, this beautiful thing of abiding in Christ, fruit is going to start to come out, and people are going to go, what happened? What did you do? Well, I gave my life to Christ. So what does that look like? And you'll begin to share what God is doing in your life and how God is restoring marriages and how God is restoring your heart and how God is doing incredible things. That's the witnessing, but you got to know the why. And you got to know the why you're serving. Why are you here cleaning the church? Why? Because the why is, man, it's the people. It's God. It's God. Listen, the people, Nehemiah's people, were in great distress and reproach, but not being able freely to worship the Lord was the final straw. We can't do it. We can't do it. Nehemiah had to do something. So he gets permission from the king. I'm going to take a leave of absence. And listen, we'll have the junior cup bearer, whatever it might be. I've got to go do this. But I want you to keep this in mind. Whenever we begin to build our lives in Christ, come on, somebody, and restore relationships, we can always count on opposition. And we'll talk about that more next week. But let me go back, okay? Chapter 3. For the last few weeks, we've talked about the gates, okay? In your mind, the city is built from basically north to south, east to west. It goes up. All of them had gates, walls and gates. And what we decided is in chapter 3, we were going to use the pilgrim's progress, the believer's progress from salvation, but he goes all the way to the great white throne judgment, all the way to the great white throne judgment. Now, let's run through the gates where we get a kind of a bird's eye view, okay? The first thing we talked about was the sheep gate, okay? The sheep gate. That is a bird's eye view of salvation. That's exactly what you did. You said yes to Jesus. It's you have to go through the sheep gate, okay? It's a type of salvation. It's being born again. Now, remember, being born again means born from above. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can muster or conjure up or, hey, it's something that God does. And once you're born again, the next gate we talked about was the fish gate. The fish gate. You know what the fish gate is? It's sharing our faith and serving. It's sharing our faith. It's witnessing what Jesus has done in your life. Now, what happens is the enemy comes in and goes, well, you're not eloquent enough. You're not biblically literate enough. You can't share. And it's like, that's hogwash. We share what Jesus has done. You ready? Let me let you on a little secret. I once was, but now I am. That's all you gotta do. I once was, now I am. I once was the dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking sinner. Can I get an amen? But now I'm born again, saved, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. You go, amen. See, it's really simple. And if somebody goes, well, let me ask you a question. You're a Christian, right? I'm a Christian. What happened? I don't know. I'm still growing. Well, I got a question. Did Adam have a belly button? That's silly. You're trying to trap me like you did Jesus. You're really not wanting to know. But I'll tell you, I once was, and now I'm not. Come on, somebody. I once wanted to lay hands on people, and now I want to lay hands on people. It's a big difference. You wanted to throw punch a lot of people back in your day, and now you're just loving on them. You're loving on them. So after the fish gate, we go to the old gate. And the old gate is a type of the timeless truths of the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Listen, church, do not stray from God's Word. And be careful with people who come in and go, I have a new revelation from God. Okay, your response, show me in the Bible. Well, it's not in the Bible. God talks to me. No. Sorry, not going to happen. Show me in the Bible because it's God's Word is true. Now we can find new truth, new application to God's truth. Oh, okay, I can apply this. But we don't go, I've got a new revelation. I've got a new revelation. From there, we go into the valley gate. Everybody jot down the valley gate because this is the trials and the suffering that are going to come into our lives and we can't get around it. It's the trials. It's the suffering. It's all of that. And you need to remember that suffering as a believer is going to draw you closer to Jesus. And from the valley gate, we go to the refuge gate, otherwise known as the dung gate. I don't want that job, but the dung gate, you go, what's the dung gate? It's exactly what it is, dung. In the city, because everything flowed, right? From north to south, guess where it flowed out of? The dung gate. You go, what flowed? The sewer, the dirt, the junk, it all flowed, you know? It wasn't, I mean, in your minds, we're in what? We're in Western America, you know, the United States, Western, and we all have running water and toilets and everything. And she's saying, thank God. But back in that day, you wore sandals and you had to walk through there. And can you imagine? Don't say, ooh, oh. You go, what's the point? Here it is. The dung gate, guys, is for you and I as believers. Come on, somebody. To constantly examine his own life in order to rid himself of unconfessed sin. When was the last time you went to God and said, how is it between us? What's in my heart? What do I need to confess? Could be theft. I don't know what it could be. But I know that it's stuff. From the dung gate, we move to the fountain gate. You go, what's the fountain gate? Guys, think about it. It's the fountain. It's the refresh and the renewal of our need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. As much as we have confessed sin, Lord, forgive me for this, Lord. I've just been harboring bitterness in my heart, Lord. I've had an anger issue and all of this stuff. You can come to the place where you can go, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I want to be righteous by you. I want to do what's right. And I need to be filled with your Spirit. Now that you're saved and you're walking with Jesus and what we call fully devoted followers of God, you have a burden for people. You have a burden for your family. You're going, wait a minute, my name's written in the Lamb Book of Life, but what about my brother and my aunt and my uncle and my cousin and whatever it might be? And see, part of the Holy Spirit is he'll fill you till you can be just a super amazing, wonderful witness. And from the fountain gate, after being renewed, we go to the water gate. And you go, what's the water gate? Well, the water gate, guys, represents refreshment in the Word. Okay. The old gate is the doctrinal side, the teaching side of the Word of God. But the water gate is the devotional side. Okay. Let me speak to those who gave their life to Jesus on Sunday. There, you have to have a devotion side where you sit and you get alone with Jesus. It's devotion. Some people you'll hear it's called as a quiet time. It's just, it can start at 15 minutes a day and it's you and the Lord and you're reading the Word and you're talking and you're praying. It's that devotion. It's the same way you built a relationship with your wife. You spent time with her. You got to know her. You got to love her silly laugh. You got to all of these things. And it's the same thing with Jesus. It's that devotional side. It's a beautiful thing when you spend time with the Lord and he speaks to you. And it's one of the most things that you'll be attacked on in your walk with God. Your time with Jesus. You go, no, Ben, I'm an early riser, 4:30 in the morning. I guarantee you something will happen at 4:31 when you spend time with Jesus. And that's where we left off last week. Now, we mentioned the horse gate, and that's where we're going to pick up our study today. Guys, Nehemiah chapter 3, drawing your attention to verse 28, he says, beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house, the horse gate. And we're all going, we're the horse gate, okay? Now, if you're taking note, jot this down, okay? It speaks to us of two things. We touched on them last week, but you need to know that the horse gate, anytime that you'll see in Scripture, these horses, it always means warfare for the most part. In Revelation, you see the horses, there's warfare, and this speaks of the believer's warfare, okay? The horse was an animal ridden by a warrior, and believers, you and I, are engaged in spiritual warfare. That's what's going on. I want you to picture this. Picture the foxhole, and there you are with fellow believers, but bullets, spiritual bullets, are flying above your head. And you have to be careful. Why? Because if you look up, you're going to get hit by one of those spiritual bullets. And so there's a warfare going on. There's a warfare going on in the church. And this just came up, but I want to share it with you because I think it would be amazing. Let me see if I can do this. And I'll share it with you real quick because I think it's just amazing. Listen to this, okay? Let me find it and it's going to be good. Hold on. Okay, here it is. And here's what he says. If I were the enemy of the church, if I were the enemy of the devil coming against us, right? Spiritual warfare. Here's what he writes. If the devil, he says, I would attack your identity. I would make you question who you are, where you belong, and where or whether you matter. I'd whisper shame so loud that you can't hear God's voice of love. If I were you enemy, and through it all, I would give even to try to prove, I wouldn't even try to prove I exist, he says. My greatest tricks is to convince you I'm not real. Because if you don't believe I am, then you'll never resist. I wouldn't waste my time trying to get you to worship me, the devil says. No, I just convince you not to worship God at all. I tell you that truth is relative, your truth, my truth, until nobody knows which way is up. And I'd whisper, as long as you're happy, it's right. I'd keep you busy, too busy for prayer, too busy for church, too busy to ask eternal questions. I'd fill your hands with the phone so that you would never have time to fold them in prayer. I'd break families. Get fathers absent, marriages bitter, and kids confused. And if I can fracture the home, I can fracture the future. I divide the church. Petty arguments, comparison, offenses, celebrity culture. If I can get Christians fighting each other, they'll never fight me. I desensitize you. I'd glamorize sin in movies. Normalize it in music, laugh at it in comedy, and celebrate it in culture until what was once shocked you now entertains you. The horse gate reminds us of spiritual warfare. And isn't it true? You go, what's spiritual warfare? Well, the enemy knows that if he can get us fighting each other and dividing, we'll never fight him. And if he can keep this in our hands, we'll never fold them in prayer. You guys heard it all. Think about what Paul, in writing to Timothy chapter 2,
Verse 2 and 3 says, he says, therefore, you must endure the hardship of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, guys, what's he saying? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Elias, do you realize that you got enlisted on Sunday? You enlisted as the soldier of Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing, he says, listen, you don't entangle yourself in the affairs of what's going on in the world. You're laser focused, locked in on Jesus. On Jesus. Guys, there are many adversaries of the believer, and we must be prepared for battle on a daily basis. You go, how do I do that? Make sure you're putting on the full armor of God every morning. Full armor. Before your little toes hit the floor, man, you're praying. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, belt of truth. I'm praying. The horse gate in Nehemiah also speaks of the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. Now, many of you don't know this. I understand that. It's called church lingo. But let me explain it to you the way Paul explains it to you, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know, some of you know this, but some of you don't, and it's okay. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Here's what's going to happen. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. And Paul says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let me do this. I'm going to tie it in exactly why the horse gate is a type of the rapture of the church. Okay. The word caught up here. Okay. And those who are alive and remain, you go, that's me. I'm here and I'm alive, right? I'm ready to go. Is going to be caught up. Okay. It's the Greek word harpazo, but in the Latin, it's translated rapturus. Rapturus, where we get our English word rapture. That's, again, think about this. People who talk about the rapture of the church said, you can actually say, are you ready for the harpazo of the church? Now, let me say this, because it's a huge topic on social media. The rapture of the church is being attacked. It's being attacked that it's never going to happen. It's already happened. There's so many things. Why? Well, I believe it's because what Paul told us. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. So if you're going through a really, 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 really rough time, I say, listen, it's going to be okay. Why? One day he's going to rapture us. He's going to pull us out of here. He's going to harpazo. But let me tell you what the word harpazo mean. It means, and you can jot this down, to snatch quickly. Okay. The idea is like, let's say I'm on the train tracks and a train's coming and somebody comes and just takes me off the tracks very quickly. Okay. The train's coming to hit me. They're not like, hey, bro, hey, the train's coming. You want to get off? They're like, it's like, it's quickly. That's how fast it's going to be. Listen, there are a lot of people who go, I don't believe in the rapture. But listen to what Paul in writing to the Corinthians says concerning the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, jot this down, 51 through 54. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, Paul's not saying, hey, there's going to be some of us who are insomniacs, right? Some of us aren't sleeping. He says, we're not all going to die. Check that out. You know what my prayer is? Is that none of us die and that we're all raptured. That's my prayer. And that's a selfish prayer because I don't want to see you go. Although you need to go. I mean, you'll be there. But he says this, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying for those of you who you might have a negative view, you might not know where you stand on the rapture. He says, you're not going to sit there and go, oh, wow, it's coming. I better do something. Why? Because science has defined how long a twinkling of an eye is. You ready? Half a blink. So really, before you know it, your spirit's going to hear the trumpet and you will be gone. The dead in Christ going to be gone? God's not going to be like, you know, we're walking and we see the graves open up like scary movies, like, oh no, it's Michael Jackson video, you know, all these. That's not what it's going to be like. It's going to be like, we're going to be doing our thing and half a blink, we're gone. You're not going to be going, I need to look for my wife, you know. Now, come on. Those of us who believe in the rapture, we get scared sometimes, don't we? You go looking through the house and your wife's not there and you're like, she was just here. Where did she go? Am I left behind? Wait, I'm the pastor. How am I left behind? God, forgive me. You know, we just pray right away. And then you see her and you're like, okay, that's right. So the book of Revelation tells us that after we've been taken to heaven by Jesus and having 7 years with God in the honeymoon, I mean, it's just going to be amazing. During a time when we're in heaven, what's happening here on earth? It's the great tribulation. All hell is breaking loose on earth. Now, I believe, I don't want to be here, but I believe the great tribulation is God's grace and mercy to those who are just not, they're just not hearing us today. It's the final call. Anyone who didn't put their faith and trust in Jesus, those who are not walking with Jesus will be left behind. And I don't think any one of our minds can comprehend the depths of, I mean, we have movies, but I think it's going to be deeper than that. And the Bible says that if the days were not shortened, no flesh would survive. And so after we're told in Revelation 19 that Jesus is going to come back to earth riding on a white horse, and we're going to come back with him riding on white horses, okay? Jesus is going to restore the earth to its original beauty, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When Jesus returns, we're told something radical in Zechariah 14:4. You go, what is that? Zechariah 14:4 says, on that day, his feet, speaking of Jesus, will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall be moved forward to the north and half the mountain to. Okay. Rapture. Harpazo. Jesus doesn't touch the earth. We go to him. Gone. Beautiful thing. Second coming. Jesus touches the Mount of Olives and creates this giant earthquake. And when you see the Mount of Olives, it's going to be like, he's going to stop. Now, according to Ezekiel 44:2, using the Peterson paraphrase, he says this. God spoke to me, Ezekiel says, the gate is shut and is to stay shut. And no one goes through it because God, the God of Israel, has gone through it and it stays shut. When Jesus comes back, second coming, not the harpazo, Jesus is going to enter the city of Jerusalem through what we would call the Eastern Gate. The horse gate is right next to the East Gate. That's why it's a picture of the rapture. Why? Because, look at me, church. Harpazo, rapture. Okay, Jesus doesn't touch. Eastern Gate touches millennial reign. So when you look at Nehemiah, if we're going through all the gates, we've gone through the horse gate, it's the warfare, but then we come back with Jesus on the white horses, okay? Now, let me say this. This is how the Battle of Armageddon is going to go. You ready? All the armies of the world are going to line up in Megiddo, and the bell's going to ring, and this is how it's going to go. Ready? You, Jesus first, you and I behind him, we're not even going to be really involved. It's going to go ding, done. That's it. In
Christ. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about tradition's past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.